Hello, Hope Singapore. Hello, Hope Global. Wherever you are tuning in and consuming this content, I want to welcome you. I'm so glad that you have taken the time to be with us at the on-site or online. It's so good to be with all of you. Well, some of you, before I go on, I thought I said it already because some of you still ask me what happened to my hair, you know. And those of you who are the older one, right, you ask me, wow, Pastor, very xiong, how come like that, you know. And then those of you who are younger, you know, you say, well, Pastor, how much do you pay for dyeing your hair? So it's, I didn't pay for it, God died for me, all right? So if you want this anointing, I can pray for you. Hey, hi, you have the same hair color as me. Very nice, we are so wise. Amen. When God looks down from heaven to earth, immediately God can identify you and I. Amen. So it's so good. Before I go on, I just want to give credit where credit is due. You know, West Center is a wonderful center because we have great leadership. So I really want to thank Pastor Dennis and Gwen for leading West Center so very well. Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you for leading so well. Pastor Dennis is humble, honoring, and he works really, really hard to lead all of us. So I'm really very thankful to you. Thanks, Dennis. Let's give Pastor Dennis one more time. Let's give him a big hand. Let's pray, and we'll hear what God has to say for us this morning. Father, we just want to be silent before you for a while. Lord, we want to steel our hearts and center ourselves upon your word. Lead us, guide us. You have full reign in our lives. In Jesus' name, we all pray, and everyone say, amen. Just steel down the volume a little bit. Have you ever felt totally overwhelmed? You prayed to God, and then God seemed silent. And then you begin to ask God. You say, God, why is this happening to me? What did I do to deserve this? God, what are you trying to say to me? If you have lived long enough, I am sure you know what I'm talking about. You will have likely faced such situations. For the past 2 weeks, we have been journeying through the book of Psalms. In part one, we learned about how to have wisdom, Psalm 1. Last week, we learned from Psalm number 8, we learned about how to deal with it with God when we feel small. See, basically, Psalm is a hymn book for God's people. It is a collection of songs, of poems, and prayers that lends its voice to God's people to express the full gamut of the human experience. And this book of Psalms teaches us to be totally honest before God. There is no need for us to act cute, nor to act smart before God. We just come to God just as we are. And today we have landed in Psalm number 40. We're going to look at the first three verses of Psalm number 40. I'd like to invite all of us, either you're here in the West Center or watching me live anywhere around Singapore, around the world, I'd like to invite you to read these verses together with me. The Bible says, Psalm 40, this is written by King David. He said this, he said, everybody, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. Verse 2, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Verse 3, you read loud. The Bible says, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Do you want to talk to you about overcoming? When I overcome. From these three verses, I want to unplug three principles for us, three learnings for us. Number one, it's about waiting to hearing. Waiting to hearing. If you go with me to verse 1, let's look at David's writing. He wrote this words, verse 1. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. The two words, waited patiently, actually comes from the same root word. This is basically a repetition. And this repetition highlights the intensity of the action. Basically, David is saying this. The situation is so bad. It's so bad. I couldn't do anything else. The only thing I could do is to wait. The only thing I could do right now, nothing else I can do. The only thing I can do is just to wait. If we look at different verses of Psalm 40, verse 1, the first part, we'll be able to get a fuller meaning of this word, of what David is saying here. If we look at the New English Translation, the Bible says, I rely completely on the Lord. From the Common English Bible, it says this, I put all my hope in the Lord. And then the Message version, which is a bit more contemporary, it says it this way. It says, I waited some more for God. Even though the Bible didn't exactly tell us what is the situation here, but we do know that it is very likely related to King Saul. You see, King Saul was jealous of David's success, and the only thing he had in his mind was to eliminate him. He was relentlessly hunting David down to get rid of him. So here, David, he was totally overwhelmed. Imagine me, the powers of that day, the king of Israel, he wanted to get rid of me. I could do none other. There's nothing else I can do. I tried to search Google for answer, but there was no answer. I talked to ChatGPT, I talked to all my friends. No one is able to help me. The only thing I could do was to wait and wait and wait and wait. God, David would have prayed, unless you show up, I am toast. God, unless you help me, I am dead in the water. Now, in my life, I can remember moments as such where I felt so lost. I don't know what else to do. I remember those days, if I find out what those days were, what were the dates of those days, I just have to go back to my journal. Because after I do my quiet time, I will pen down. In those days, I was so desperate, I ran out of words. I could only pen down two words in my journal. What are those two words? Help, Lord. Many mornings, help, Lord, help, Lord, help, Lord. I was so desperate, I ran out of words to describe my desperation. Now, perhaps some of us, we are going through that right now. Though you're watching me on the screen, or those of you who are here live in the West Center, you're going through the same old situation. Perhaps some of you are having a relational challenge, perhaps in a family, marriage, perhaps in the workplace, perhaps in church, in the life group, perhaps with one of our siblings, with one of our child, and it's tough. Recently, there's a couple in our church, they're having a tough time. And the leader was so kind, the leader sent a text to the husband. The leader, the guy, sent a text to the husband. And the text goes something like this. The text says that I heard that you're going through a tough situation. Let me know how I can help. So the text was sent to the husband's handphone, but before the husband could look at the handphone, the wife looked at the handphone first. And the wife took the husband's handphone and texted back to the leader, what do you mean he's going through a tough situation? I am the one that's going through a tough situation, not him. Painful, the leader, ni se sui. Painful. It's kind of a very painful situation. Perhaps some of us, you have just received a bad medical report for yourself or your loved ones. Barring a miracle, things are going down south, and going down south rather quickly. Perhaps some of you, parents here, you're having a situation with a difficult child. You know, it's kind of interesting, you know. There's somebody in our church who is a cancer survivor. She once met Pastor Claudia, and she said this, I'll never forget those words. She said that going through cancer is less painful than having to deal with a difficult child. So it was that bad. That was a situation. Perhaps some of you are facing that situation. Perhaps some of us have been scammed of a substantial sum of money. There's a guy in our church, he has been scammed of a substantial sum of money some months ago. And he shared with us, he was feeling he was feeling angry and ashamed and stupid all at the same time. And it was quite some time ago, but he didn't tell anyone. And then finally, he couldn't take it. His wife told the leader, and the leader asked him, why didn't you tell us? And that was his answer. He said that, I don't know how to tell you. I felt so ashamed. I felt so stupid because I fall for the oldest trick in the book. How did that happen to me? Now, if that is you, if you're going through a tough situation right now, I want to encourage you to do what
David did. What did David do? What did David do? He waited, and he waited patiently for the Lord. He prayed, and he cried out to God. Why is that important? Because as we do that, God will hear our prayer. God will hear our prayer. Because as we do that, God will turn our waiting to hearing. How do I know that? Go with me to verse 1. Let's look at verse 1. Psalm 40, verse 1. David wrote, I waited patiently. Double emphasis. I really waited. Basically, that's what David said. He waited for the Lord. Until a point, the Bible says, God turned to me and heard my cry. You see, God longs to hear the cry of his people. God longs to speak to us more than we desire to hear from him. If you are in that situation, people, please look at me. I want to urge you. I really want to urge you. The stupid thing about human being, right? Not just you, me especially. Sometimes we do everything, right? We may not use those words, but the heart posture is that we do everything. We're in trouble, we look for help, we Google, we talk to people, we find experts. Not that these things are wrong. We talk to friends, we talk to everybody else, and then we come to a place. We may not say those words, but our heart posture basically is like that. I've tried everything. Now, bo pian wei, what do I do? Pray, lor. It's as if like praying is a kind of a last resort. But if you learn from King David's life, prayer is the first thing that he did. He said, I prayed, I waited patiently for the Lord until a point where God turned to me and God heard my cry. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Now, who are the righteous? The righteous are those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. How many of you here are righteous in Christ? You have already come to a place where you receive Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior. Come on, lift up your hands. Come on, lift up your hands. Give me a wave. Give me a wave. Give me a wave. The Bible says this about us. For the eyes of the Lord are on you, and his ears are attentive to your prayer. God longs to hear your prayer. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. The Bible says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. So the Bible is telling us we need to seek God. So the first thing we can learn from this passage, how do we overcome? How do we overcome? We overcome not because we are strong. We overcome not because we are able. We overcome not because we have got it all figured out. We overcome not because we are educated, we are experienced, we are a trainer, we are CEO or whatever. We are able to overcome all situations in life because we have learned to wait upon the Lord. Because as we wait, God will turn our waiting to hearing. That's the first thing we learn. Secondly, we were overcome when God turned our despair to deliverance. God turned our despair to deliverance. Now let's look at Psalm 40, verse 1 and verse 2. I'm going to read verse 1 while you read verse 2. David prayed. He was running away from Saul. He was in a bad situation. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. Verse 2, you read. What happened then? He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. In verse 2, slimy pit could be literally translated to the cistern of destruction. Cistern of destruction. So slimy pit, together with mud and mire, it refers to a place of death. It refers to a place where God seemed distant. So David used this rather strong figure, these descriptive words to describe the severity of his crisis. He said, I'm in a slimy pit. Man, it's a wet mud. It was a mire situation. Well, this was the situation that he was in. But let's look at the second part of verse 2. The Bible says he was in a slimy pit. He was in the mud. He was in the mire. But what happened? The Bible says that God lifted him out and set his feet on a rock and gave him a firm place to stand. You see, our God does not just see us in the pit. He pulls us out of the pit. He brings us out from the slimy pit and places us on a solid rock. He sees us and he pulls us out of the wet mud and put us in a firm place. That is the God that we worship. And as a result of waiting on him, not only does he hear us, he hears our cry. He sees us in the pit. He will pull us out from the slimy pit, put us in a solid rock, and he will pull us out from the wet mud and put us in a firm place. My friend, this whole deal in our church, especially in the year 2017, we describe this as an only God moment. 2017, the focus for that year was only God. Way ocean, that's how we say it. And the catchphrase for that year is basically this: only God. We are completely dependent and totally reliant on God and God alone. We pray to God, we ask God for help, and God sees us, and God pulls us out. Slimy pit, solid rock, wet mud, firm place. When that happens, we just amaze it. Man, this is only God. When we see God helps our pre-believing families who have only objected our faith since we were young, come to a position where they name Jesus as their only Lord and Savior, we just lift our hands up and say, man, only God could have done that. When we see God heal chronic disease, and God does that. I was just telling somebody in this congregation this morning that there was a guy in our church. His name is Andrew Lee. You know him because he shared his testimony openly. He has white hair. I mean, he plays the keyboard. He had pancreatic cancer. The doctor diagnosed that he has only 7% left to live. That was 10 years ago. But he prayed. He did his best. He overcame, and today he's still alive. And when that happens, he can only play the keyboard. No. Only God could have done that. When we see God pull us out of a hole that we have dug for ourselves, and we surrender ourselves and we worship God, we say, only God. 弟兄, 唯有神, 唯有神我跟你讲话, 对, 你, 唯有神. He's from China, so 我翻译给你听, 他们不明白, 我跟你的暗号, 好, 你戴上我就讲英文了, 你, put back your thing. So, 唯有神, only God. When God opened doors for us to plant churches in India, in Mongolia, in Japan, when God enable us to plant centers all over Singapore, what do? No one can claim the credit. No one say, I've got it figured out a long time ago. We can just lift our hands and we just stand in amazement and say, only God. Recently, one of the only God thing that God did in Pastor Claudia's life and my life was a few weeks ago. It was my mother-in-law's birthday. So Pastor Claudia asked her mom if she would like to throw a party so that we are able to invite pre-believing people to go to the party. And some of these pre-believing friends are actually our colleagues' parents. So the mom agreed. So on that date, 21 people show up, all right? And if you count, there's 19 because two come later, right? I know some of you, Tsun Bo, okay, 19 here. Two come later. I'm not lying to you. So as we had this party, there was two and a half pre-believers. Let me explain why. One pre-believing mom, one pre-believing dad, another mom who received Christ, but wei zai, so I call her half pre-believer, okay? So two and a half pre-believer, maybe half body saved, half body not saved, I don't know, okay? So that was the situation. So we're having buffet, so I don't know where we learned this from some traditional church or whatever. So all the girls sit at one table and all the guys sit at one table. And then we were eating. I was in a guy's table. Obviously, you can tell I'm a guy, right? So I overheard the conversation. They were sharing, the people were sharing testimony to the two pre-believing ladies. So on my table, the Mandarin pastor was sharing the gospel to this pre-believing dad. So this was going on. We were eating our food. Then partway during the whole thing, right, these ladies, right, they start to sing with great gusto. You know what did they sing? 真家伙来，信耶稣，真家伙。Oh, they sing it very loudly. I wanted to say, are you all vaping or what? You know, kind of like, 真家伙, to be honest with you, I was quite embarrassed because not only did they sing, their hand gestures some more. 真家伙来信耶稣，真家伙， the other ladies, ho ah ho ah ho ah ho ah ho ah, 真家伙来信耶稣，真ho ah ho ah ho ah. I was like, wow. Being a guy, right? We all like, okay, wow, 这好家，这好家。 卖瓜。 Man, they were saying so loudly to these two people. Then those of you who know me, I like to make joke to get out of embarrassment. So as a leader, the ladies were singing for the second time, you know, it was so long, you know, and then it comes to a kind of an end. So I had the stupidity to say, hey, gentlemen, 怕什么?他们可以,我们也可以哇. I meant it as a joke. But they took me seriously. They like, 真家伙来信耶稣，ho ho ho. Before you know, the girl joined was ho ho ho. The whole table ho. I was like, oh no. There are a few only God things during the party. One only God thing is that it's amazing the neighbor never complained. I think all chao hilang, right? I don't know. No one complained. That's only God. Second only God thing is that one of the pre-believing mom, she's not very open to the gospel at that point in time. Maybe she just come and attend all this thing. At the end of the meeting, she asked one of my members, hey, can I pray for my alao, my husband? My alao is sick, right? If I'm not a Christian, if I pray for him, right, is it sinful or not? So I said, it's a good question. We try to explain the gospel more to her. And then this pre-believing dad, who has been close to the gospel for many months already. In fact, the first thing he came to the party, right? I didn't even ask him for anything. He volunteered to me and showed me his weekend schedule. 我很忙的。我都没有问你。我很忙的。He said, my MP, he said, my MP in this area said, wow, I follow him. 我很忙的。He showed me all his schedule. 我都没有问你，跟我讲说什么。I think he was just basically telling me, 你不要请我啊, go away. So at the end of the meeting, he tell his daughter who brought him there, he said that, man, I'm so glad that your pastor took the time to engage me on an intellectual discussion of the gospel. Only God could have done that. Amen. 真家伙来信耶稣，真家伙。 So only God. And the children feel good because they're praying for their parents for a long time. And only God could have done that as they waited in prayer. God, hear the prayer of his people, and God make a way, pull them out of whatever situation they were in, and put them on a solid rock, on a firm place. Now, let's go back to Psalm 40. So here, David has his only God moment, when God pulled him out of his slimy pit. You see, God longs to turn your despair to deliverance. Turn to your neighbor on your left and on your right. Tell them, God turns our despair to deliverance. Come on, tell them. God turns our despair to deliverance. So how do we overcome? Because we are strong? No. Because we are educated? No. Because we are Singaporean? No. We overcome when we learn to wait on God, because God will turn our waiting to hearing. And when God turns our waiting to hearing, God will also turn our despair to deliverance. And lastly, God will turn our fear to faith. God will turn our fear to faith. I'd like to invite you to look at verse 3. Now, look at me. Verse 3. Remember, we're on a journey. David was being pursued by King David. King David wanted to eliminate him, get rid of him. So what did David do? He said, it's so bad. I don't know what else to do. I could only wait. The Bible says that after waiting, as he prayed, God heard him. So God turned and heard his prayer. Not only does God see us in the pit, God pulled us out of the pit. As a result, here in verse 3, the Bible says that God put a new song in my mouth. David wrote, God put a new song in my mouth. It's a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. David wrote that because God delivered him, he now has a song of praise in his mouth. And his song will lead many to see and to fear God and also put their trust in God. You see, when I overcome with God's help, not only will my own fear turn to faith, but my testimony will also help others see the reality of God and put their trust in him. Simply put, my testimony is both a blessing to myself and to others. My testimony can turn others towards God. That is why, friends, that is why it is important for us to count our blessing and to share our testimony to as many people as possible, as often as we can. It is so, so important. One other thing that Pastor Claudia and I do, there are not many rituals in our life, but in our marriage, there are a few rituals. And one of the rituals we do on a weekly basis is that we will set aside time to really count our blessings for the previous week. We intentionally do that. We do that on our day off. I say it's important. We set aside time to count and give thanks to God for our blessing. We will recall God's faithfulness, including a so-called parenthesis, bigger things like good health report. When she goes for a health checkup, when I go for a health checkup, you know, it's kind of interesting. Claudia always feels that she's unhealthy. And then she goes for a health checkup, come back, the record is always very good. I feel that I'm very healthy. And I go check up, and the result come back, also very good. Yeah. No, not so good, but never mind. Joseph is here, he helps me, okay? So we give thanks for good health report. We give thanks for progress in our church. Wow, praise God. I heard this thing happen in the West Center. That happened in Axis. That happened in a student. Happened in a Filipino group. We give thanks for the miraculous healing for the people around us. And we give thanks for the salvation of different people. Big things. Seemingly big things. But we also very intentionally give thanks for small things. I kid you not. We intentionally give thanks for items like parking lots. Those of you who drive, right, you know, sometimes finding parking lots can be quite frustrating. How many I'm talking about? Sometimes, how many know that finding parking lots, sometimes you can lose your Christian, right? How many I'm talking about? You're like, wah. So I say, God, help me. I'm very weak. Give me a parking lot. So find parking lot. Pastor Claudia has a file of photograph of parking lots because he is the Lord of Lords. Amen. L-R-D-S. L-O-T-S. We take photo when I park there. I say, unbelievable. Take photo. Remember, God is the Lord of Lords. Amen. All right? We thank God for a roof over our head. Have you ever given thanks that you are born in Singapore? Honestly. I was looking at this documentary. If those of you from Malaysia, I'm not dissing or putting anyone down, but you watch the documentary, right? The people who come to work in Malaysia, every day they travel 3-4 hours, and then they go back 3-4 hours. They go back 3-4 hours. Every day, just travel. They reach home about 8-9 o'clock p.m. And then they sleep, God bless you, 8-9 o'clock. And then they wake up the next morning, 3-4 o'clock, they go to work. I was just talking to Pastor Claudia a few days ago. I said, wow, I'm born on this side of the causeway. I could have easily been born on the other side of the causeway. What did I do to deserve this? Nothing. And I'm a believer. Wow. And I've got to do things that are really meaningful for all of eternity, preaching the gospel. What joy. Have you ever given thanks for that? Have you ever given thanks for that? And we give thanks for the fact that we have money to eat the food that we enjoy. Don't get me wrong. I think I said yesterday in the service, I think I said quite badly. Maybe people think that, you know, I say that basically I don't struggle walking to most places to eat. Isn't that true? I mean, that's for me. I mean, I'm not talking about walking to Michelin restaurant. No problem, a Michelin restaurant. Order food lah. No need to see the number one. I just order lah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 龙虾五个. No. I mean, what I'm saying, I go to food court. I go to most places I eat. I don't really have to think, oh, this and that. I just eat quite freely. I think most of you are the same as me. Have you ever given thanks for that? The fact that tonight when you go back, there's a bed that we can sleep in. I give thanks for that. So we are very intentional to give thanks for God. We never ever wanted to take God's blessing for granted. We work really hard, and I kid you not, we work really hard to recall every act of God's faithfulness in our life. We do this not because God needs it, we do this because we need it, because we don't want to forget God's faithfulness. Because when I remember God's faithfulness today, it can also be used to share to other people who have yet to know God. So we take the time. So this is what David is doing now. Let's go back to Psalm 40. This is interesting. You know? Now, look at me. Don't miss this. Right? There's going to be an interesting turn of events here. Verse 1, David, I waited patiently. Really bopian, dead in the water. Wait, God help me. God seems silent. Even in his silence, God is still communicating. He's communicating, trust me. He prayed. Then the Bible says God turned, hear him. God saw him in the pit. God helped him, not just see, but God helped him pull him out from a slimy pit, put him on a solid rock. And then as a result, what did David do? The Bible says David has a song of praise in his mouth. He praised God, he thanked God, he remembered God's faithfulness. And this faith is contagious because it impacts other people, not just himself. So back to Psalm 40, after verse 3, after David, only God. And then let's go down to verse 12. Let's look at what happened. The Bible says in verse 12, after verse 3, yay, mountain high. Verse 12, for troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head and my heart fails within me. Wow. 一波未停,一波又起. How many know I'm talking about, right? I mean, for a moment, I say, yeah, God, deliver me. And then before you know it, man, I'm back in the pit again. I was like, whoa, praise God for this promotion, for this new income. Then before you know, insurance went up. Ah, oh, this is one thing. Just celebrate for a while. You're in a mountaintop. And then before you know it, bang, you're down in the pit again. But what did David do? Well, David remembered God's faithfulness of day past, and he did the same thing as he had done before. What is that? He waited, and he waited patiently for the Lord. He prayed, and he cried out to God. Now, how do I know that? That's verse 12. If you go down one verse to verse 13, David wrote, be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. He prayed again. He said, God, help me. Verse 17, but as for me, David said, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. David did the same thing again. He waited and he waited before the Lord. Why? Because he knows that the God who helped him to overcome in days past, the one who turned the waiting to hearing, the despair to deliverance, the fear to faith, is the same God that will do the same thing in days future. Because King David understood this fact. Don't miss this. King David understood that the God who helped him from the day past, who brought him from where he was to where he is today, is the same God that's going to bring him from where he is today to where God wants him to be. And our God, my friend, is a faithful God. That's why it's important to remember God's favor. Because when we are forgetful, we forgot the God who helped us, who brought us to where we are. Then we start again, like blank sheet, as if like we have no experience with God. But God has brought us through so much. That's why we need to remember his faithfulness. There is a term that is hardly used today. The term is to raise one's Ebenezer. To raise one's Ebenezer means to raise a memorial of remembrance of how the Lord has helped us. This term, Ebenezer, is found in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 7. Samuel established this rock, a Pacific rock, to remember how God has helped the Israelite to defeat the Philistine. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far has the Lord helped us. I kid you not, friends, I actually entertained the idea of asking the church experience team to give every one of us a rock. so that during worship, we can all take up the rock. But I was nervous because I was afraid that Pastor Dennis may be leading worship. And then he will sing so badly, all of you will. So just use your fist. Imagine it's a rock. And remember that our God is a faithful God. Can someone say amen? Don't forget, if you are in a tough situation right now, don't complain. Don't look to people. You can get help. By the end of the day, your real help is not just in people. God can work through people, but at the end of the day, your real help is in God. Look to God, look to God. Wait patiently. If it appears, if it seems that God is not listening to you, that's not true. God hears. God hears prayer. Doesn't have to be King's English, Queen's English, even the deepest sigh. God understands. He's able to decipher the cry of your heart. When He sees us, He not only hears our cry, He will lift us up and pull us out from the pit and put us in a firm place. And as a result, we must praise Him. Praise Him and tell people of this God that we worship, so that people will come to be curious of this God, both Christian and pre-believers. Christian, will, their faith will be built up. Pre-believers will be curious of this God that we worship. Let's stand together right now, all over this place.
Let's rise here in the axis. Let's rise our feet.
Come, let's lift our hands, shall we? Come, let's raise an Ebenezer all over this place. Let's lift our hands and raise up an Ebenezer. Thus far has the Lord helped us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Come.
Here I am with my arms lifted high, as the light begins to fade. Hear my cry, my prayer, my plea. I'm counting on your grace for me. Through the storms and my uncertainties, Lord, I put my trust in you. You're my Savior and my peace. Oh, Christ, my King, I will draw near. Oh, we surrender, so my soul surrenders.
Lift our voice here in Texas. Let's surrender ourselves to the Lord.
So my soul surrenders to my faithful God, my faithful God. You're my hope and anchor. I'll trust in you. My soul surrenders. So my soul. My faithful God, my
Close every head bow. I don't know the situation that you're going through. Some of you may be having a difficult child in your family or a relational challenge in your marriage with your spouse. Could be a financial challenge. It could be a health issue. Whatever it may be. Whatever it may be. I just want to let you know that God loves you. God cares for you. He's not unaware of the things that you are going through. And His hands are not too short that He cannot help you. But He has the best plan for you. But what we need to do is to wait and to wait patiently on Him, is to pray and to cry out to God. So every eyes closed, every head bowed. If this is you, you know that you need to come before the Lord right now. I just want to give you, because after that, when we break out for lunch, we're going to just do our own things. But I want to give you just a minute or less to just come before the Lord and just talk to the Lord. If that is you, can I invite you to just lift your hands to the Lord and just talk to the Lord in the most sincere of fashion, the simplest of fashion. Just talk to God right now. We just lift your hands right now, wherever you are. Just talk to the Lord. Just talk to the Lord. What is that situation? What is that worry? What is the concern that you have in your heart? Just talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Psalms, the book of Psalms. It helps us to express the full gamut of the human experience. Knowing to act cute, knowing to act smart, just come before the Lord. Just leave your hands wherever you are. Watching me on the screen or right here in the West, and just leave your hands. Just talk to the Lord. Just talk to the Lord. Leave up your hands. Leave up your hands. Hallelujah. Shigada bahare behida bahanda da bahare behinda. Shigada bahada 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 bahada. It's an eye woman. It's an eye woman.
要聆听我们的祷告。So if this is you, just talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Shigara beheda bahade beheda bahande da bahande beheda bah. Shuguru bahade beheda baham baba. Just give our friends, our brothers and sisters, just a window of time, a period of time, just talk to the Lord. Father, you hear the cry of your people. Lord, your word says that as we wait patiently for you, you will turn and you will hear our cry. Lord, we hold on to your word, we hold on to your promise. Lord, you are so faithful, you are so good. Lord, we put our trust in you, God. No matter what we are going through, Lord, you are bigger than all this situation, Lord. Your grace is bigger than our sin. Your love is bigger than our problems. Lord, we look to you, we trust in you, Lord. We hold on to you, God. Hear our prayers, oh Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Every eyes closed, every head bowed. The next group of people I want to speak to are those of us, we need to raise up Ebenezer on a regular basis to remember that thus far has the Lord helped us, so that he will remind us of God's faithfulness, so that in the future when we go through different challenges, we will remember that God is faithful. The God who brought us from where we were to where we are today is going to be the same God that's going to bring us from where we are to where God wants us to be. God is faithful. God is faithful. So if this is you, you say, God, I want to raise some Ebenezer. I'd like you to just clench your fist. It's like you're raising up a rock. And you say, God, I am lifting up my Ebenezer. I'm praying to you. I'm trusting you, God. If this is you, when I count to three, just lift up our Ebenezer and just remember God and just praise God in this place. Can we do that? 1, 2, 3, come on. Just lift up an Ebenezer all over this place. Come on, let's pray. Hallelujah. Shigala ba 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 ba. Let there be a sound of praise. Among us,
every head bowed,
who do not know Jesus as yet, you may have been to church, you may have a Christian name, you may have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or parents that have already known Jesus, but the truth about you is that you have never ever come to a place where you personally ask Jesus to come into your life as your Lord and Savior. I want to let you know that Jesus loves you, and the most important decision you can ever make in your life is to know Jesus personally. So if that's the cry of your heart, you say, Lord, I want to know this Jesus. I want to have all my sins wiped away. I want to have the right standing before the Holy God. If that's the cry of your heart, in a moment's time, I'm going to lead you to pray this prayer. This prayer is specially designed for those of us who are saying yes to Jesus for the very first time. And those of you who are already Christian, I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer together with us as well. Would you pray together with me? Say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
One more time. Say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I confess that I'm a sinner.
I confess that I'm a sinner.
And I want to thank you.
And I want to thank you.
For dying on the cross.
For dying on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
Right now.
I invite you.
To come into my life.
To come into my life.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
Help me to become
the kind of person
I was created to be. I pray all this in Jesus' name.
And everybody say, Amen.